This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Good evening. I'm Juliette Frumholt, your host from now until 11 o'clock. So happy to be with you. We have a lot going on tonight. A little later on in the show, we'll be finding out about two benefit shows happening this weekend in the Miami Valley. One's at Ghostlight and benefits the Miracle Clubhouse. Dawn Cooksey will be telling us a little bit about that, and we'll hear some of her music. We'll also be chatting with some friends of the show about a really great show happening at Blind Bob's to remember and celebrate the life of Jeremy Frederick, great local musician and local music supporter. We'll play some of his music and talk about his legacy and tell you how you can go to that show later on as well. But first, you are getting treated to some fabulous live music in the studio. I'm very, very excited about our first guest of the evening. He's a Dayton native who recently made his way back here. We'll hear that story and learn about his really great double album, The Spark. But first, we're going to hear some live music from Kevin Heider.
Head depression, I see him lurking and I don't like you, no. I'm gonna keep my eye on you, Mr. Serpent. Come take a good look at the bottom of my boot. I cleaned it just for you. Decompression, please come infect me, I have learned my lesson. One man can only take so much of this wandering of Miss Low Income's tender touch of the faces of all the names one head can't hold and the places. I must be wicked cause I can't seem to get no rest. This old crow can't find a nest. Hey there, darkness, quit filling up my lonely drives with your thoughtless and your deceptive crooked lines. I must walk straight and tall, believing in an end in a light that's beautiful but oh so very hard to see. I'm stuck in a tunnel filled with me. Yeah. Head deflation. Come hit my head like a brick made of iron. An arbitrary simile, the road had changed me. Made me just like the walking dead. I keep talking, but there's nothing left inside my head that's of value. There hasn't been utterly misconstrued. There ain't no substance, nothing adequately processed that's worth sharing. And yet I'm sharing it with you. So if you've any semblance of wisdom in your soul, no doubt you'll find you can disregard my mind. Head defenses, why are you on the verge of war with our senses? This lack of sleep is clouding up my mind. And so I'd like to pose a question to all those who might yield to Descartes. If I can't think, am I not?
Kevin Heider, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Very happy to have you here. Happy that you're back in the Miami Valley.
It's very good to be back.
Now, let's, before we get to the story of your travels and all of that, Let's start off with your early days. How long have you been making music? I know you're self-taught as far as instruments go.
Honestly, I think I really picked up the guitar between sophomore and junior year of high school. So I was probably about 16, 17 years old. And, learning how to play, teaching myself just went hand in hand with writing. I would just kind of mess around, and I would go onto guitar tab sites, and they would often show you how to form chords. And then from that, I just kind of learned what exactly I was playing. And that's really it. I've been writing as long as I've been playing, because the two just kind of, went hand in hand for me. So
what is your writing process like? Are you a lyrics guy first, or are you a music guy first, or does it all kind of come at once?
Yeah, it entirely depends. Sometimes music comes first, sometimes the lyrics come first. With that particular song, the one I just played, I was about to go into the studio. This was about a year ago. And I had flown from Baltimore. I was living at the time. I'd flown down to Florida, to Jacksonville, did a show, and I left my house at noon that day, and I was back home in my bedroom by 8 a.m. the next morning. So to fly out at noon, get there, do a show, spend 2 hours in the hotel room, get back on a plane, fly home, I was just exhausted. And so much of being on the road is just like that. That was kind of the quintessential road experience that one weekend for me. And I was just kind of laughing to myself about it while I was waiting for the bus to pick me up and take me back to the long-term parking to get my car, or short-term, I should say. And I just started, just speaking some of those words in my mind. It was just my way of exhaustively trying to process how I was already back in Baltimore when I had just left, already done a show and all this stuff. And so I wrote that song really just in my head before I had I might have already had the music, but I wrote the lyrics in the bus on the way to my car, and then in my car on the way home, I walked into my bedroom at about 8 in the morning. The rest of my family that lived in the house was still asleep, so I picked up my guitar, kind of fleshed out the lyrics. And then about noon, I went to bed. So that's just one example of how a song can come about for me, I suppose.
So then you kind of already answered my follow-up question, which was going to be, are you the type of songwriter that's writing all of the time? Are you constantly having ideas and bits and pieces of songs coming to you? Or is it something that you really have to say, okay, now it's time for me to write some new material. Let's go to it.
I've honestly never agonized over it. I have snippets of songs, music that I really like, a melody that I really like, maybe even a verse that I really like, that I've had for 2.5 or 3 years. And every once in a while, I'll start playing it and say, I wonder if I can do anything with this. And I mess around for half an hour, and nothing comes out. So I say, all right, that's fine. I tend to just to let them come out organically, I should say. So, yeah.
Now, how soon was it after you, picked up guitar, started, looking up some chords and figuring out playing and writing and all that you decided that, you were going to perform in front of people, start playing music out and about, that would eventually lead to shows from Baltimore to Jacksonville and back again?
Well, when I first started learning, I played a lot, and there were a few other guys in my high school that that were gracious enough to let me be in their band. I look back on it, and I think, maybe the main reason I was a part of the band is because maybe they thought I was funny, but I also had a station wagon. So it was convenient to load all of the band equipment in it.
You're
so
the guy with the car.
I drove my parents' 86 Celebrity station wagon. So, I don't want to say half the time, but a good percentage of the time, I was faking it, just kind of not really strumming or playing any chords up there on my acoustic guitar. And, I'm sure some people could tell, but most people probably couldn't. So So that that was, I guess, my first experience of getting up and performing in front of people. Other than that, you know, when I got to college, we would just kind of play at coffee houses on campus or at the local bars, just play cover songs and stuff like that. And eventually I started playing my own stuff and writing a lot more. So,
well, before we get any further, can we hear another live one?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a blues. I've only written two blues songs in my life. This is one of them. So this is called "I Don't Want Your Love." Hush, little darling, don't you say a word. I'm gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, I'm gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring don't satisfy you, I'll say goodbye. If that ring don't satisfy you, and if I have to say goodbye, then I don't want your love. No, I don't want your love. I'll be your Jack if you be my Jill. Baby, for you, I'll climb any hill. Forget that pail of water if you be my girl. Darling, for you, I will fetch the world. And if the whole wide world ain't big enough for you, then I'll say goodbye. One more than I can carry. You and me, babe, we ain't never get married. I don't want your love. No, I don't want your love. No, I don't want your love. If you want to, I'll find any army just for you. But if you want me to be your man, there's something you've got to understand. Questions shouldn't lead to lies, and I don't wanna have to say goodbye. If you tell me that you really care, then turn around and try to cut my hair. Well, I don't want your love. No, 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 I don't want your love. I don't want your loving. No, I don't want your loving.
Kevin Heider, live in the WISO studios. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to chat some more and hear some more live ones. This is Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. Stick around. Lots more to come.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh, my God.
One thing I really like in a radio story.
What's back there?
Nothing. It looks empty.
No, so, there's someone living back there.
He's a mystery.
I'm not going back there.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
Mysteries explained each week. This American Life.
It's Santa Claus.
Saturday at noon and Sunday afternoon at 4 on 91.3 WYSO.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Grazie.
My mother thanks you.
Don't worry.
Merci, merci.
My father thanks you.
Merci.
My sister thanks you.
Спасибо.
And I thank you.
Gracias.
Gratitude and friendship.
I was doing a project when I was working as a reporter in Lake County, a video project, and the
project began spiraling out of control. And when it came time to show it to the entire student body of the high school for which I was producing it, it wasn't ready. And I basically collapsed on the floor in front of a few hundred people, feeling quite embarrassed and ashamed. And the high school principal told everybody that I'd basically worked overnight on it with little sleep. And everybody gave me a huge round of applause and standing ovation. And all the kids that were a part of the project came and gave me this big group hug, and it felt amazing.
Well, I have a friend that he's from Syria, and we're like brothers. And he's always there for me. About 5 years ago, my son was 13 years old, and he was killed. At the time, you know, I was going through a divorce really badly. So I didn't have no money to cover for the funeral. And he paid for it. That's something that I will never forget.
If you've been inspired by what you've heard on public radio this year, let us know with an end-of-year contribution. Here's how.
Visit WYSO.org and click Support This Station. Thank you.
WYSO is now accepting applications for the 2014 Community Voices Training Course. Community Voices teaches people from all over the Miami Valley how to make radio stories. You'll learn how to record and edit audio, conduct interviews, write for radio, and produce a feature story. Space is limited, so apply now. Download an application at WYSO.org. Just click the Community Voices tab.
We're back here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, joined here in the studio by Kevin Heider. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, earlier we were talking about, you know, sort of that decision to get out on stage at first with a high school band, kind of, you know, feeling it out, being the guy with the car and all that good stuff, yeah. And then beginning to play out more in coffee shops and things like that in college. Now, when did the Ingrid Michaelson connection sort of get started? How did that all come about?
Oh, yeah, that was so I went to college in Steubenville, Ohio, and after I graduated, I just kind of – I didn't exactly know where I was going to go or what I was going to do and whatnot, and I was just kind of working through a temp agency. And so at the time, I was working I was on a three-week stint working at a Route 21 distribution plant, opening boxes for 8 hours a day, trying to find a way out. And you know, a friend of mine had submitted to this competition on MusicNation.com, which I don't know that it exists anymore, but it was just to make a video of yourself doing a cover of Ingrid Michaelson's The Way I Am, which was, I think, the song that year. And I went on and watched, and it was mostly just women. It was all women that had made songs. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a guy, so I'll just have a little fun with the video. And so I just made a goofy video. I'm just kind of sitting in, at one point, standing in the giant storage freezer in my parents' garage. It went down to voting, and then the top 20, Ingrid was going to watch them and select the winner, and she picked me, which was – it was very exciting. And at that point, my decision, my choice was kind of between going to Hawaii. I had an aunt who lives there, and so there was a possible teaching position that I could get there. So it was just about kind of going to Hawaii or just – going to D.C., just one of those two places I'd never lived, just to kind of see what happened. And when I got that email, you know, that she had selected me as a winner, do I accept? And I emailed him back. I said, yes. and so I won an electric guitar that is signed by her, which is pretty cool. But at the time for me, it was very encouraging. And when I got that email, I said, all right, I'm getting out of here. And I made the decision, and 2 weeks later, I just loaded up my car and moved to D.C. on a whim. So,
did you think at the time when you were, you know, unpacking boxes and trying to figure out what was next for you, were you thinking that music was going to be, you know, a big part of your life moving forward, or were you thinking more, oh, you know, I've got my guitar and I'll play every once in a while? But were you thinking of it in terms of, you know, I want this to be a big part of my future?
No, not exactly. You know, I think winning that contest definitely was very, very encouraging for me. And at the time, I had really wanted to get involved in independent film and music and whatnot. I didn't have any professional quality recordings. I didn't have any money. And so I had no idea where to start. But winning that contest, you know, just kind of encouraged me to keep playing regardless. And then slowly but surely, after being in D.C. for about a year, I just started, you know, playing out a little bit. And then I started getting some requests. And then eventually I said, you know, if there's ever going to be if I'm ever going to try to do this full time, then I just have to jump in and kind of see how long I can tread water. So, yeah, that was in the fall of 2010. I started doing it full time. So I've been full time for just over 3 years now.
Doing wow.
It with the music.
Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, some people know, you know, from when they're super young or from high school, like, I want to be a musician. Were you thinking back then when you first picked up that guitar and started teaching yourself, was it just, oh, I'm making music for me and this is something, you know, a form of expression? Or was being a full-time musician a dream of yours going back that far?
No, it really wasn't. So much of what has happened to me in my life in the last 7 years is just I don't know how any of it happened, but I'm very grateful that all of it did. You know, I never really thought that I would move away from Dayton, and I did. I lived in the D.C. area, Northern Virginia, Baltimore, for about 5 years, and I just got married at the end of August, and she was a girl I kind of chased her for about 4 years, which I think this program ends at 11, so I don't think we have time for that whole story.
For that story.
Yeah, but, you know, so much happened with that. And honestly, I think part of the angst of the early stages of the relationship that I had with my wife, that I was now she's my wife, that I was trying to get going, I really do think that not working was, you know, started to make me feel restless. And I think, you know, had it not been for her, I don't know what word I'm looking for her playing hard to get, even though that's not, you know, consciously
yeah.
what she was doing. I don't know that I ever would have, you know, dared or had any real reason to kind of just go somewhere else and just try and travel around and play music. So
it was a challenge.
Yes.
That ended well.
I suppose. Yeah. Oh, yes. She ended very well. She's a beautiful woman. So.
I want to talk about the spark, but I think we want to do another live one. I know you want to introduce this one.
Sure. Yeah. My wife recommended that I play this one. It's a little darker in tone. And so she said, if you play it, you have to preface it. The album is called The Spark. We'll start with that. And the running theme throughout it, throughout both, it's a two-disc project. So the running theme through both discs is, you know, is don't let the glimmer of gold shine brighter than the spark in your soul. So, you know, in a nutshell, there are just so many things that can distract us from the fact that we're human and that we bleed, and those around us are human and they bleed as well. And this is a song that I wrote it about 3 years ago now. And I was inspired after I read an article that was about the city of Dubai and the way that it's all built and the human rights concerns with all of that, and the fact that they kind of dupe workers from all over the Middle East to come in and they have them live in horrible conditions. When they get there, they take their passports and they don't pay them and all this stuff. And I was very moved by the article, and as I started reading it, I thought, I think I'm going to end up writing a kind of a song about this, about these themes and whatnot. And this is it. You know, every great civilization, every great empire is in a sense built on the backs of slaves. And that's that tragedy is. What the song is about ultimately. So it's called The Dark Side.
Baby, will you go with me, he said, to a brand new city across the sea, to the middle of the desert, where men with names control reality. We'll eat until we've had our fill, and then, babe, we'll eat more still. So go and get your bags all packed. Be careful what you photograph, my dear. So they left and went far away. Now they don't know what to say. She's living in a busted car. He's dying in a dungeon. Oh, tell me what it's like on the dark side, when nothing is ever what it seems. Oh, tell me how's life on the dark side. Oh, tell me, love, are you alive? Don't you worry, darling, he said, I'll be back when my work's done. He sold his land and said goodbye to his daughter and his son. And so he sought his fortune where the rich man with names dwell. Left his wife for heaven and ended up in hell. Now the lords, the gods of nothing, have him dying on the land, enslaved to the immigrants, the pirates of the sand. Oh, tell me what it's like on the dark side, when nothing is ever what it seems. Oh, tell me how's life on the dark side. Oh, tell me, love, are you alive at all? Who've spoken out, who refused to fetch the bone. The devil took their tickets out, now they're prisoners in their homes. And if you ask the beauty queen, the girl of only 17, what's really going on here? She put her face down in her magazine. The rich young man takes unholy pride, while the old man justifies their lives and how they made them. Don't you judge us, he cried. Expats from the Western world rarely seem to show remorse for how they treat the servant class. Those girls aren't even whores. And credit is a cancer here. It lets the rich man with name steal. Every smile has a secret. All nothing here is real. Well, we're all sons of Abraham, but we're nothing at all like him. He dug holes to honor God. We dig holes to hide the body. So eat until you've had your fill. Look at the ground, see what you spill. Throw a cloth and hide the scraps. Be careful what you photograph round here. Oh, tell me, how's life on the dark side? We're nothing ever what it seems. Oh, tell me, how's life on the dark side? Oh, tell me, love, are you alive at all? Oh, do you like what you've seen on the dark side? Oh, can you see anything at all? Oh God, please shine your light on the dark side, 'cause we can't see anything.
Kevin Hyder, live in the WYSO studios. I don't even know what I want to ask you after that. I'm still processing that. Well, okay. Is it hard to put yourself in somebody else's shoes when you're writing a song like that? For so many people, songwriting is such a personal thing about, you know, things they're feeling in a moment, heartbreak, joy. Is it difficult as a songwriter or a challenge to respond to something you've read about somebody around, you know, on the other side of the world, or does that feel very natural to you?
It's a tough question. With this one, you know, I said as soon as I wrote the article, I thought that I was going to write a song about it. I had no idea what approach to take. And I wrote the last two verses that starts, "We're all sons of Abraham." I wrote that one in the following verse. Those were the only two verses I had, and I didn't touch it again for months. I didn't really know where to go. And then I actually went to I drove into Georgetown, and they have on Sunday nights they have a beautiful — it's not quite a Gothic chapel on campus, but that whole campus looks very Gothic. It looks very Hogwartsy. they have an evening mass about 11 p.m. And I went to that, and the priest, actually in his homily, the approach that I took to the song was inspired by his homily. It was the parable of Lazarus, not the Lazarus that Jesus raises from the dead, but the other one, and the poor man. And, you know, he noted when he was talking about this passage, he said, you know, what's interesting about this is that in this passage, we know the poor man's name, but we do not know the name of the rich man. And if you think about our lives now, that's backwards. You know, all these celebrities we get into all their gossip and all their dirt and all their personal lives, and really that's none of our business. And he says it's all backwards. He says we know their names. We know who they are. But we walk past the poor, the homeless on the street, and, you know, we might look at them, but we never stop to talk to them. We don't ask them their name. And that's such a personal thing, to ask somebody their name. And so he said, what we have, our way of life right now, he said, Christ flips that upside down. He says it is the poor whom he identifies with. And Pope Francis is really getting to the heart of that. But I think once I heard that, I think that was the approach. It really let me write the song because it let me, it gave me an opportunity to identify with all of these poor people whose lives are completely different from my own, growing up here in Dayton and really never having any problems, you know? And I think just from being inspired by the article, being inspired by these very dark, tragic human stories, and then hearing this priest talk about how Christ identifies with the poor, all of that really let me write this song. So
now you said, you know, the spark centers around a central concept. As you were writing the songs that would become the album, yeah. were you thinking of them in terms of all coming together to support this concept, or did you find those connections kind of as you were setting out to make an album yet to be determined?
Well, that's a tough one. Really, the reason I released the double album is because I'm very particular about what songs go with what mm-hmm. songs on a particular project. And I had two lists of songs that I really liked, that I was very proud of, that were completely different from each other. So the first disc is, it kind of opens with this Irish drinking song about heaven. and the dark side is towards the end. So it really descends throughout before, you know, a kind of redemption at the end. And in the middle there, you get this kind of performance piece where it talks about that theme that kind of links the two albums, which is The Spark. That it's just a minute-long track with somebody talking, and it's called The Spark. And then the second disc is all songs about life and the pursuit of love, you know, amidst a life of traveling. So one guy who reviewed it a few months ago said the second disc was almost like a travelogue. You know, every song you're kind of in a different city, and there's something else going on in that pursuit of love. And but I think, you know, what ultimately links them is that idea of the spark that each of us has in our soul, that, you know, that what makes us human ultimately. And the first track is kind of, you know, me. The first disc is kind of me, the man, and how he sees the world. And then the second disc is the man and more the interior, my own quest for love. So that was really it. You know, I'm not attached to a major label or a major distributor or anything like that. And I had full creative control to do a double album. So I was actually through the very generous support of 229 backers on Kickstarter.
Nice.
That I was able to make the album. So, and I'm very proud. It was a labor of love. It was a very intense experience trying to, you know, make the whole thing with time constraints and with the budget and whatnot. So
I was going to ask you, what was your studio experience like for that? You know, with so many tracks and really kind of running the gamut stylistically and emotionally, did you do it all in one, you know, sort of span of time, or did you break that up recording wise?
I did about 6 days, and then we took, it might have been just 2 weeks off, and then we were in for, gosh, 4.5 full more weeks.
Wow.
Which was often 6 day weeks. You know, I would usually get to the studio around 9 or 10 in the morning, and we would, you know, often go till 8 at night. So we're doing 10-12 hour days. And one thing that helped is that, you know, when I write songs, I write them either on the guitar or the piano. But I always hear other instruments. I always know what else I want. And so for me, a lot of that pre-production is finished, and it's just kind of a combination of getting in there and working quickly, but also, you know, wanting to do it right. And so if I already know what I want or what I'm looking for, or at least the general direction I want to take it in, it's much simpler to, I think, to move fast, I should say. I feel weird just saying that we breezed through it, because that was not the case at all. And some of the songs I didn't know where I was going to go with. Mm-hmm. And two of them in particular, one's called The New World, the other is called Maureen, Has Anybody Seen Her. I had no idea where I wanted to take those two songs, and it was agonizing, and so I put them off until the end. And I'm very, very proud of how both of those songs turned out. So
does it help when you're going into the studio and you've got, you know, an engineer and other musicians, when you don't know where something is going, are those extra sets of ears helpful, or are they almost more intimidating because you would rather just go in knowing?
Well, they're definitely helpful. I didn't produce the album myself, so I don't know if he's listening tonight or not, but I got to give a shout out to my man, Mike Ofka. He owns Innovation Studios in Steubenville, Ohio. He's a very, very talented musician, first of all. And second of all, he kind of keeps me in check, because I can sometimes be a loose cannon. I can tend to my tendency is to kind of want to micromanage stuff, and he'll tell me, like, look, man, just chill out. You know? So he's really good at kind of keeping me balanced, and it's we co-produced the thing together. So for some of it, you know, if I don't know what to do, I'll say, Mike, are you hearing anything? And he'll say, yeah, will you indulge me? And I'll say, yes. And then he'll pick up a guitar and do something like, I like that. Let's go with that. So it really is collaborative, even though for many of the songs I had an idea of what I wanted to do. You know, you can't do it alone. And if you do, it can take a really long time. So.
Yeah. Well, why don't we take a quick break and come back and hear some more live ones?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back for some more live music with Kevin Heider. We'll also know, we'll let you know where to connect with him online and where you can get the album, The Spark. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Stay tuned. Lots more to come here on the show.
Hello, I'm Vic McCunis, your host for The Booknook on WYSO. Tune in for conversations with authors every week on Fridays at 1:30 and again on Sundays at 11 a.m. That's The Book Nook on WYSO, and listen to our podcasts at wyso.org.
We have two guests next time on The Cafe, with the Philadelphia-based band Man Man and with Ray Davies of The Kinks, who has written a second memoir, this time concentrating on his relationship with America. That goes from The Kinks being banned to being shot in New Orleans. It is a complicated relationship. Man Man and Ray Davies on the next World Cafe.
Tomorrow afternoon at 1, right after Excursions, right here on WYSO.
Tom Asbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the battle over Ukraine, the reach of the West, Russia's sphere of influence, Ukrainians in the streets. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Tonight at midnight on your public radio station, 91.3 WYSO.
You're listening to Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, joined in the studio by Kevin Heider. He's got a double album out called The Spark. We'll tell you how to get that here in just a little while. But first, we're going to hear another live one. This one's called Enola's Wake.
Passing was quick and quite a surprise to everyone under the sun, as Enola's wake.
I've messed up, Juliet. I'm gonna take that from the top. Cool.
Her passing was quick and quite a surprise to everyone under the sun, as the devil's a catchy tune in disguise, the virtue of progress was won. Enola's wake left everyone dead. It's only a matter of time. I never believed a word that she said. I knew that we wouldn't be fine. And yet here I have been called on to speak, to give such a woman a toast. but the words of my heart bear the truth that I seek, and I long to speak them the most. So sleep, Enola, sleep and don't ever wake up. I'm sad to have known ya, and the death that your life was made hard and sing out with me. Sing sleep, Enola, sleep and don't ever wake up. I'm sad to have known ya, and the death that your life was made of. Passing was rough as she screamed in her bed, and I prayed that our souls would be fine. And 'cause Enola's wake left everyone dead, it's only a matter of time.
Kevin Heider, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. So you're back in Dayton now.
Yeah.
And you're a full-time musician, so you're traveling off and on, as well as looking to play around here.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be a part of an event, the Dayton Does Dayton Music Fest 2014.
That's great.
In February.
Great.
Yeah, which I'm very excited about. So I think I'll be playing on February 15th. It's being held down at Jilly's.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about that show.
Excellent. And if people want to get their hands on the Spark, how would they go about doing that?
You can get all of my projects. I've got 3 albums and an EP available. They're all on iTunes, Amazon, MP3, Bandcamp, all that stuff, various digital media outlets online. And then if you want physical copies, you can order those through my website, which is just kevinheider.com.
And we've got a link up to that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio, as well as Kevin's Facebook page for his music. So connect with him there. Moving forward, you said you're doing Dayton Does Dayton.
Yeah.
Are you planning on, you know, making Dayton your musical home base as well? I mean, I know you're doing a lot of traveling and things like that, but are you looking to sort of get your toes wet in the music community here?
Yeah, that's something that I was really looking forward to coming back. You know, the whole time I lived in D.C. Or Baltimore, I never really took the time to dive in. It just seemed so big. It just seemed like just such a vast sea with so many fish that it was just so easy to get drowned out in. And most of what I did was out of town. I would love to start doing more stuff locally. You know, my goal with the music anyway, because I'm independent and I can kind of, you know, do what I want with it as long as we can pay the bills and whatnot, is my goal will be to travel a bit less anyway, just because I very much enjoy my wife and her company. So I do odd jobs and stuff here and there on the side. I've done a bit of kind of freelance website work and video editing and all that stuff. So, yeah, cool. Whatever helps pay the bills and whatnot. So,
exactly. Yeah. Well, can we hear one more before we go?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a short little ditty. So, this is called 27.
Kevin Heider live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Check him out at Dayton Does Dayton in February at Jilly's. We'll be telling you a lot more about that in the months to come. But in the meantime, check him out online. All of the links are up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. And get The Spark. It's a great album. Kevin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Juliet.
It's my pleasure, and we are glad that you are back in town and a part of our music community.
As am I.
Check him out, Kevin Heider. All the links on facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. This is member-supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond.